Hope all are well and doing well this morning, and it's always a pleasure, a blessing to be able to come out to worship God one more time, because he woke us up this morning, watched over us while we slept and slumbered, and allowed us to come out, the privilege to come out and worship him today. Before I get into my lessons, a few announcements. I want to say thank you on behalf of Brandon and Dominique for the wonderful gift last week, and yesterday they performed the ceremony, and it was really, really nice. So we know, I told him I would let everybody know, because he told me this morning to make sure for those who weren't able to stay for the fellowship last week to thank them for their support and love. And then also the funeral arrangements for, I mentioned Wednesday night, Sister Regina's first cousin, Greg Pearson, will be Tuesday at 2 o'clock, visitation 2, funerals at 2:30 at the Linville Forest Church of Christ in Winston-Salem. So we'll be with that one. And Brother McNeil announced earlier they'll be out of town attending to Sister Shirley's sister's wedding. Funeral tomorrow as well. Also next week, I won't be here. I'll be speaking at the Centerville Road Church of Christ in Kannapolis doing their fellowship meeting. So I'll be there at 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock. I'll be back here for evening service. But all can attend maybe the 3 o'clock service. I know they always serve lunch. It's a good time to fellowship with area Christians. If you need directions for it, it's really simple to find, but I'll get them for you. If you'd like to come over after we worship here to kind of be over there and fellowship with those as well. Now I got those matters out of the way. Been a busy week for us. Busy weekend for us, Gene and I particularly so. For those of you who know me a little bit, I said I always keep this sermon in my back pocket. Jesus wept, amen. Let's go home. Won't be any much longer than that, but when you think about that, and most folks know that particular scripture as the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. But it's also one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. You may say that's nothing out of the ordinary, but I want you to understand this morning who it was that wept. God wept for us. He cried for us, his creation. He was so moved or touched in whatever reason, he cried for us. Now, when you think about the God of the universe, the creator of all things, weeping for us, boy, that moves you. So as I jokingly say sometime, and I want to cut it short, but as I begin to study this verse, that's a very powerful verse. And you think about the fact that why did God give us the ability to cry? Why did he make us that way? He didn't have to. You know, he designed our bodies and he designed our tear ducts to be somehow influenced by emotions. And then we cry. And we're all different at it. Yeah. Yesterday, for example, at the wedding, a lot of tears. But they were tears of joy. Tuesday, those of you who had to deal with final thoughts to a loved one, those are tears as well. But those are tears of the loss of a loved one. And then there's sometimes, if you're like myself, you just cry sometimes for no reason at all. You don't even know why. Everything's going good. Everything is fine. And sometimes you just tear up. I call that a pressure release valve. Yeah. That's my excuse for it. I don't know what you call it and why you do it. And somebody can ask you, what's wrong? Yeah. Nothing. Well, why are you crying? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So we have those situations, but I want to look at three particular instances, because there are three particular times in the New Testament where the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. Turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We'll begin at verse 32 and read down through verse number 38. John chapter 11, verses 32 through 38. Excuse me. And it reads as such. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, come and see. Jesus wept. Now most folks, when they read this verse, think on the surface that Jesus was crying because his good friend was gone. But I want to challenge that thought today. Jesus had already known that Lazarus was going to live again. He had already told them and tarried 4 days before he went back to where Lazarus was. So why was Jesus crying if he knew that soon Lazarus was going to live again? Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who cares so much about us that when we weep, he weeps? Have we ever thought about that? Because I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Because there are some things that happen to us in our life that really shake us to our core. Death is one of those things. Betrayal, maybe of somebody close to you, is one of those things. Sometimes just seeing others hurt. You ever notice the attention that goes around oftentimes when a little child begins to cry? I see it all the time at school. Because sometimes I'm at the buses normally in the mornings. A kid will get off the bus crying, and I'm like, what in the world is wrong? And sometimes it could be somebody said something ugly to them. Sometimes they scraped their knee getting on the bus. Sometimes because they had no food. Sometimes it's because they missed their mother, father. There are different reasons that they cry, but it almost like it goes to that attention. God himself says that when you weep, I weep. Because that's the reason why he was crying here, church. He said he looked around. And he groaned in agony, not because of Lazarus, because all of those he loved were in pain. That's pretty powerful for us. He cried because they cried. Christ himself is looking, but has the ability to look beyond life and death and also look at sin. When we read this scripture, we really understand that Christ was man just like us. Church, that is so beautiful. Now, I want you to think about your own times when maybe you were crying and nobody else knew. But I want you to change that because God knows. Those moments that maybe you don't share with anybody else. That when you feel most vulnerable or most hurt or most alone, Jesus understands. That's the God that we serve. That's the first incident. Second incident is when Jesus cried over the city of Jerusalem. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. You're going to begin in verse number 41. Luke chapter 19. Let's begin in verse number 41. Read down through verse 44. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. And it says this, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Christ, on his way to be crucified in just a short time after this, looks over, and he's able to do that because Jerusalem is a city of hills. He looks over them and cries, but I want us to notice something he says in verse number 42. I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, I'm crying just because if you'd have known, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. When God looks at us today, and he looks at our world individually, he weeps because he knows what he has in store for us. He says, Curtis, I'm weeping over you because you don't realize what peace you have in me. You don't realize what joy I have in store for those who love me. I know it hurts. I know persecution is not fun. But see, there'll be one day, like in Revelation 22, when I'll wipe away all your tears. Oftentimes, we are our own worst enemies. God has promised us so many things according to Scripture, and we don't even know what we have. Many folks look at this life of living, being a Christian, as something they can take or leave. Many folks walk away from the best thing in the world that would ever happen to them, and that's being a child of God. Christ weeps over us today the way. He weeps over all those who once upon a time were faithful and have strayed away. He weeps over those who've heard the gospel time and time again, but have yet to obey it. He weeps about those who, again, even those who are faithful, who sometimes, because of life's trials and tribulations, forget that he gives us a peace and a joy that's a past of all understanding. He doesn't want us walking around here sad all the time. That's not why he came. Now, we're going to have those moments, but church, there's a reason for us to have joy in our hearts. And it's not based on anything in this world. It's because we have a Savior. We have a Lord who's able to weep and cry for us. We have a Lord who came down in the flesh. Why? To be touched in all points like we were and to die a martyr's death for sins he did not commit. Why do we sometimes forget that? Just like the nation of Israel. He also wept because he knew, he'd already prophesied, that one day, soon, there was not going to be a stone left standing one upon another. Because, why? Because of Israel's disobedience. When you look at what happened in AD 70, and I know the church had begun, but part of that, what happened in AD 70 was because of their disobedience and hard-headedness. A stiff-neckedness. That's one of the reasons why. When we become hard-headed and stiff-necked, yes, God gets angry with us, but we got to understand that he also weeps for us. Not that he really wants to destroy us. When we go all the way back to Genesis, chapter 6. Now, I know that God had said he was going to destroy man, but do you see him weeping for us there? Do you see him weeping that just 10 generations after he created Adam, man was committing every sin under the sun that his mind could imagine. Created them in a garden of bliss. Created them to live forever. And because of sin, he now had to cast them out of something that he made for them. This is the same picture that we get here. Now, the last one is, we'll look at, and I'm going to make some emphasis here, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. If you've ever read this, you know, I think we can identify with it. Matthew gives us another example of it. We may look at that as well. But Luke 22, we're going to begin at verse number 39. And it reads, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray thee that ye enter not into temptation. And when you look at this, the version in Matthew kind of tells us that he went away to pray. And he asked his apostles this, just stay awake with me, be with me while I go away and pray. That's all I want you to do. Many times that happens to us. Many times when we're going through situations and trials and tribulations in our life, we just want somebody to stand there with us. And you know what? They can't always do anything about it. But it means a whole lot if you got somebody that'll stand by your side when you're going through the trials of life. But that doesn't always happen, does it? And we sometimes think that nobody understands. But church, we serve a Lord and Savior who understands because he asked his apostles just to stay awake 1 hour. 1 hour. And I'll be confident. Now, tie that into what is going on here, because Luke kind of surmises it, or or what I'm looking for is summarizes. That's what I'm looking for. What happened in Matthew chapter 26. And it says this, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a cast stones and kneeled down and prayed. A cast stone is about for me to maybe Chad back there. They were that close to Jesus. They could hear him praying. So why did they fall asleep? He tells us that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak in Matthew chapter 26. But I think there was another reason. They had no clue what was about to happen with Jesus. Do you think sometimes that Christ agonized because man had no clue and shed some tears because they didn't really was couldn't really understand and grasp what was happening at Calvary? Do you think he might have shed some tears over his apostles who walked around with him for 3 years and yet they didn't understand? Do you think it hurt Christ's feelings in John chapter 14 when Philip says this? Show us God and we'll believe you. Show us God. Christ says, have I not been with you this long that you don't understand? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You ever been frustrated with somebody so much that it brings you to tears because they're just not getting it? That's a frustrating place to be, I'm telling you. And sometimes it's done for your own good. They just don't seem to get it. They sometimes will bring you to tears because you see the outcome. Any parent can tell you that. They tell you what's down the road. They can tell you what mistakes they made. And to see their child go right down that same road, I promise you, it's going to bring some tears. I can guarantee that if you care anything about that child, because you know yourself the heartache down the road. You've lived it. You've dealt with the consequences. Don't go down this road because it's going to be painful. God is the same way. But he asked them just to wait for a little while. But notice something here. This is a physical phenomenon that is actually possible. Notice what it says in verse number 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, what in the world was Christ agonizing about? Sin. Three-letter word. S-I-N. My question is, have we lost our ability to cry and weep over sin? Because that's what it takes for true repentance to take. We must be willing to weep over our sins. That's what godly sorrow means. Doesn't mean you're getting caught. Doesn't even mean you feel bad. But Jesus here had wept. Now it says as blood, but that actually can happen. That can be some things that happen to us that are so traumatic, that are so stressful, and causes so much agony emotionally and mentally that our body has the ability to really cry tears of blood. Now, if you've never really cried tears of blood, really, or actually, there have been some things that made you want to do it, hadn't it? Oh, my goodness. That's a whole new level of hurt and agony. Life does that to us sometimes. Here is Christ, God in the flesh, for us. Now, notice the theme here. He didn't cry for anything he did. He was not weeping over his own sins. He was crying for us. He was praying in agony for us. The fleshly side said this, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The godly side says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Everything that Christ did for us, even crying, he cried for us. He's still crying today, wondering why we won't accept him as our Savior. In conclusion, I told you I won't keep us long this morning. Think about this for a second. Now, oftentimes when we see scriptures like Christ stands at the door and knocks, you know, if we'll let him in, he'll come and dine with us. But what if we don't answer the door? You ever been that way for somebody? You know the end there. You need them, but they won't answer. And you ain't do it just because you had nothing else to do. You didn't do it because you was going to be, you didn't want to be aggravated. You did it because you really needed them. You did it because you had something in store for them, and they slammed the door in your face. They peek through the curtains, spiritual curtains, and see you out there, and then they act like they ain't home. Now, mind you, you're hearing voices and activity inside now. Can you imagine what that feels like with Christ? Do you imagine how much it hurts him knowing that he could take that door off the hinges, knowing that he could kill you from outside on your front porch? But he walks away in pain and agony when we turn him away. Oh, my goodness. Lessons like this, it ought to make us think. Subject title, I'm giving to you at the end, have you made Jesus cry? Have you made him cry? You may say, not me. I'm going to say, yes, you. I'm going to say, yes, me. When we sin, we make him cry. When we don't obey him, church, we make him cry. When we don't realize how blessed we are and the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, we make him cry. When the world hurts us, he cries for us. When we hurt ourselves, he weeps for us. When, and especially in heaven, in judgment, that's going to be a lot of weeping. And maybe not from us, but the God I see in Scripture, the God who says, I'm long-suffering toward all, not willing that any should perish. That's going to be a bittersweet day, I believe, for our God. Because he's not going to say this, and we sometimes leave out this part, because we say this, you know, one day God's going to say, we're not a faithful and obedient to him, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, we being humans think that that's going to be a lot of anger behind it, a lot of I got you, a lot of I told you so, a lot of this is what you get. That's not the God that I see in Scripture. I see a God as he banishes us to the lake of fire forevermore, that he doesn't have a chance to have a relationship with us anymore. Forget the fact that we can't relate with him, but look at the pain that's going to cause God. That's why we're still here, church. That's why when we read this, and we understand it, but when we see scriptures like this in the book of Peter where it says he's long-suffering, not willing to serve, God is not slack concerning his promises. So why are we still here today? Because he loves us enough to give us one more chance to get it right. He loves us enough to put up with us one more day on this earth before he calls us home. That's why we're still here. Make no mistake about it. Nothing we can do to deserve all the days in the week. We can run and live the healthiest life and run 25, 30 miles a day and still drop dead for no reason. Life is short and fragile. So why are we still here? Now think about those who've gone on, who maybe, just maybe, didn't take advantage of that. That's why we see what we see in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. He gives us a glimpse into what it's going to be like. You know that gnashing of teeth that goes on there? That ain't just because of pain. That's because of missed opportunities. You've done it in your life. You've gnashed your teeth when you look back. And that's something that you did that was a mistake in your life that you're still paying for today. Something that you could have done better. An opportunity you didn't take advantage of. Whatever it is, that's something that we've gnashed teeth over. But we serve a loving and masterful Savior. We serve a Savior. We serve a Savior who loves us enough to count the very hairs on our head. We serve a Savior who says, when you weep, I weep. Because he even tells us to do that as well in Romans chapter 12, right around verse 19, doesn't it? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Why does he command that? Because that's a commandment. Why does he say we do that? Because he did it. And if we're going to be like him, that's going to be some crying. Maybe this morning we've lost our ability to weep. But I want you to think back and see what it cost God to the point when sweat was dropping down his blood, to the point where he looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept, first of all, because they didn't know the peace they had in it. And second of all, they were about to be destroyed and no longer a nation and scattered abroad every corner of the earth. And then we look at the book of John. His dear friend Lazarus, Mary and Martha, good friends of his as well, come to him weeping. He looks on them, even though he promised and knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He wept because they wept. He groaned in the spirit, it tells us. If God can groan in the spirit, oh my goodness, we serve an awesome God. Have you made Jesus cry? By sin? By neglecting to serve him as we should? By not obeying him? By not putting him first in our life? So that probably hurts more than anything else. For all he's done to us, he deserves to be our Lord and Savior. And somehow, some way, we think we can set him up on that mantle, that spiritual mantle in our lives, and think he can be up there with the rest of the false gods. Have you made him weak? Nobody wants to make anybody cry. If you are, and sometimes it happens because feelings get hurt, but if you did that on purpose, what would the world think of you? If you made somebody cry on purpose, what would they think of? What is wrong with you? You are so cruel. You are heartless. All kind of adjectives we give to them, wouldn't we? You heartless person. Why would you hurt somebody like that? And we do God like that every day. Every day. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. And yet he says this. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They knew what they was doing. When you think about it on the surface. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? They knew they were killing him. They knew that. They meant to strike him. They meant to pluck his beard. They meant to do that. They meant to mock him in three different languages. Hail, King of the Jews. They meant to cast lots for his clothes. Why would he say that? Because they really didn't understand. They did it deliberately. And yet still he says, Father, forgive them. That's how I know Calvary still speaks to us today. That's some things that we know we ought to be doing and don't do deliberately, and God still loves us. But my question is, how many more times are you going to make him cry? How many more times are you going to take his love for granted? How many more times are we not going to dedicate ourselves to Christ and come up with excuses not to serve him? You know, we play little games, but do you understand that God knows our heart? Do you understand those lies that we tell ourselves and him? They hurt him. We just think about the angry part. Nobody wants to make God angry. But I don't know about you. When I was growing up, I could deal with my parents being mad at me. But it hurt me when they said they were disappointed. That's a whole nother level, church. Mad, yeah, because you know they get over mad. But disappointment somehow goes deeper than the surface, doesn't it? When you disappoint somebody, that means that you've almost shook them and hurt them to their core. We're disappointed, and he still loves us. He's weeping for us today. Have you made Jesus cry? If you put on Christ in baptism, don't become a Christian by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's one of the ways that we make him rejoice. The Bible says one angel in heaven rejoices. Angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that repents. One soul that obeys. Maybe, just maybe, we didn't realize we were making them cry, because Satan does that. Satan says, you know what? That's God. He'll be all right. He understands you got things to do. He understands that you're just a person. He understands all those things. Because you ever been somewhere like that? They say everything. You know what? I got no problem. I understand. But most times, some of those folks going behind closed doors and crying. No problem. I got it. You didn't hurt my feelings. It's over and done with until they go home and get in their private quarters and they shed tears. That's what God does to us. If you like to request special prayers for repentance, we ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of...